Halloween is supposed to be scary for kids, but grown-ups may not understand or may have forgotten what really gives little kids the willies. And that's why we have storyteller Kevin Kling.
When we move to the country, we have to take the bus to school. The Catholic kids sit up front and us public kids sit in the back. And all the Catholic kids are then let off at St. Francis Catholic School, and we walk an extra block and a half to the public school. And on the way past the Catholic school, I put my fingers through the chain-link cyclone fence and watch to see how the Catholic kids play. And I notice they play a lot like us, but I know in that church they have other games, games like catechism, some weird cross between catacombs and hypnotism, and the girls running around in their plaid dresses, and the boys in their blue shorts and white shirts. And I wonder if when Halloween comes, they all have to be little plaid witches and holy ghosts with short pants and white. Whap! A ruler strikes my fingers through the fence. Nuns! It's the nuns! Run for your lives! It's the nuns! So when Halloween arrives and my mom asks me what I wanted to be, I pick the scariest thing I can think of, a nun! Mom, I want to be a nun! Oh, no, she says, Kevin, nuns are peaceful, God-fearing people. Oh, is she buffaloed or what? Then a monk? Can I be a monk? Yes, for some reason, a monk was okay. But when choosing a Halloween costume, I always wanted to choose what I feared most in hopes of overcoming the terror by living in the feared thing's skin. A monk? Now, my brother always picked a costume by how he wants to exact vengeance on the human race. One year, he was the devil. Now, the costume was just a plastic mask and a red suit from Snyder's drugstore. And after the candy was handed out, he told the neighbors simply that he would see them in hell. He never said it like a threat. More like, see you later, and then stand in their doorway, his happy little blue eyes peering from inside the mask. The effect was unnerving. Neighbors were calling for days, wondering if Stephen was mad at them for some reason, and whatever that reason was, they were sorry. One year, we both went as Nixon for our different reasons. But this year, he's a Choctaw warrior, mostly because he likes the word Choctaw. So I am a monk and my brother's a Choctaw warrior out for trick or treat. Now, his enthusiasm is a bit low because we lived in the country now. There's only two houses within walking distance. About a block from the house, I turn and see my mom is nowhere in sight. I flip my hood around, pull my white turtleneck with the hole cut in the neck up past my head, and I am a nun. Ave Maria, climb every mountain, Dominique, Nique, Nique. I had a ruler hidden in my sock. Now it's the nun and the Choctaw warrior. We arrive at the first house and knock on the door. A woman comes to the door. Trick or treat, trick or treat. Oh, she says, trick or treat, what are you? A Choctaw warrior, my brother says. What are you? She says, I'm a nun, Ave Maria, and I pull the ruler from my sock. But nuns are peaceful, God-fearing creatures, she says. Oh, she's buffalo, just like my mom. Then this lady takes out a huge bowl of candy, dumps half of it into my bag, and the other half into my brother's bag, and says, it's so nice to finally have children in the neighborhood. Closes the door and is gone. Now, we've only been to one house, and we have full bags of candy. We still have another house to go. The nun and the Choctaw warrior are dancing down the street. Oh, my brother says we should have brought our UNICEF cans. The nun and the Choctaw warrior. We arrive at the next house, an old, dilapidated farmhouse. All the lights are off, and the windmill in the yard squeaks as it turns in the cold, gray wind. Spooky. I knock on the door. Creak! And there, sitting in his front hallway, is Mr. Mershing. Mr. Mershing has pulled his Easy Boy recliner to the front door, and next to him is an end table, and on the end table are two jars of pickles, one marked edible and the other marked Halloween. Yes? Oh, trick or treat. Oh, trick or treat, says Mr. Mershing. Well, do you boys like pickles? Oh, we love pickles. We can eat a million pickles. Oh, you can eat a million pickles. A million, more or less. Well, how about one of these? And Mr. Mershing takes the jar marked Halloween, unscrews the rusty lid, reaches into the jar and pulls out a pickle and sets it on the table. These are the largest and most unnaturally greenest pickles I've ever seen. Mr. Mershing hands one pickle to me and one to my brother. He licks his fingers and rasps, there you go, boys, and you can have as many as you want, but you have to eat them all in front of me. Oh, no problem. My brother and I take a pickle. Cheers, and we start in. I take a huge bite and, ah,
It's so hot. My eyes are watering and my forehead itches, and I have a smile on my face, but it's not because I'm happy. It's because my cheek glands are pinching so hard and my lips are trying to crawl around the back of my head. I look at my brother and he has a smile too, but he isn't happy either. I cough and wheeze and finally choke the rest of that pickle down. And Mr. Mershing says,
"Would you like another?"
Of course we would. Pickles are supposed to hurt like this when you're a kid. And we ate pickle after pickle after pickle, Mr. Mershing laughing the whole time, at one point joining in, chomping in on a scary-looking gherkin and sweating and crying and choking right along with us. And every year we returned to see who could eat the most Mershing pickles. Then one year, Mr. Mershing stopped handing out pickles. And there was a house where Mr. Mershing's garden used to be. And the next year, there was a new house where his house used to be. And I asked my mother, "Mom, what happened to Mr. Mershing?" And she says, "Kevin, Mr. Mershing was a homesteader. Now, that means he lived on that land farming it until one day the government said that it was his to keep. And Mr. Mershing worked that land until the city started to move out here. Then his taxes grew to where Mr. Mershing couldn't afford his land anymore. And that's when they found him in his garage." The next year, my brother and I visited Mr. Mershing's farm. We tote full bags of candy from the housing project that sprung up in the area. When we get to where Mr. Mershing's house was, I ask my brother if he's afraid, and he says, "No, and I'm not either. I know if there is a ghost, it'll be Mr. Mershing, and when we leave, I'm sad that he never came out to scare us."
Kevin Kling performs and writes plays in Minnesota.
This is NPR's All Things Considered.